Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
There's a great flaw in the strategy, and it's this. The winners write history, and they're the losers. And they're the architects of sedition and insurrection, violence and death. 147 members of Congress, all Republicans, all white, rose to throw out millions of black votes. How many companies in this country have signed pledges in favor of racial justice, supporting Black Lives Matter? I don't see how they can ever make a donation again that goes to any of those members who sought to reimpose Jim Crow on this country. They have incited violence. They have participated in the big lie. They have poisoned democracy. The shame of the people around Trump who have participated in the shaping of the great American catastrophe over the last 4 years will be held to account. Will be held to account by the judgment of history, by the judgment of decent Americans. They'll be held to account by corporate America as they look for jobs, by corporate America as they seek donations. They will not write their history. We will write their history, and their shame will last forever. They are carved like etching into granite onto history's list of villains in this country.
That was Steve Schmidt on CNN. Now, a couple of comments. First of all, isn't it striking that, generally speaking, if you're in a hard-fought contest and you win, you feel happy and elated and joyful. You don't, turn to your opponent and start trying to kill them or destroy them. Do you? I've never seen that happen before, and yet that's exactly, if you can't even bear to watch national news right now, it's just venom and vitriol. I thought the hatred was bad when President Trump was still in the White House, but it seems worse. And of course, it's all of us collectively. We must be destroyed. And it is, I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly how they feel. They are coming for us. President Trump warned us about that. I've tried to warn you about that, but his megaphone was much greater. But I don't think people really listen. And certainly Republicans, establishment Republicans, are still in la-la land of some sort, not even understanding what's about to hit them. Well, the other point is that Steve Schmidt used to be a strong, an active Republican. He worked for President George W. Bush. He worked for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he worked for Arizona Senator John McCain, which brings me to this point. You have often heard, if you haven't, you should hear, that personnel is policy. Can you not see how horrible it is if you pick someone like that who has that kind of character and hatred and vitriol as your chief staffer? And that's yet what some of those people did. Sorry, my allergies. Scott Walter is the president of Capital Research Center, and he joins us this morning. Scott, thank you for joining me, and good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Hey, Scott, before we start talking about the content, if I could talk, I may just have to have you talk. You guys are pretty much close. I'm not in D.C., in the downtown area. Yeah. So describe that. What's it like to be down there right now?
Well, of course, I wouldn't know, and the same for virtually everyone, because the area of D.C. that they have cordoned off is enormous. In D.C., I usually worship at the Cathedral of St. Matthew's, which is about a 15-minute walk from the Capitol, not from the Capitol, much further from the Capitol, 15 minutes from the White House. And they haven't been able to be open since noon on Sunday, and they have not been told when they will be able to reopen. It will, the earliest, it would be late tonight, because all pedestrian and vehicular traffic is shut down that far away from the White House. Now, sadly, part of that is because I believe Mr. Biden is going to go, was going right about now. To Mass there, which is, of course, a horrific scandal to all of my Catholic friends that a man who's doing so much for abortion and countless other evils will be, in all likelihood, receiving communion at Mass. But the other thing I'll say is that I have lots of military friends, and they're appalled. These are combat veterans, and they're appalled at the thousands upon thousands of soldiers shipped into D.C., in their view, quite unnecessarily. It'd be like if they're trying to take on the entirety of the Taliban to have that many people there. And they have no magazines in their weapons, which makes you wonder about the how grave the threat actually is, as opposed to just the dog and pony show that they're doing.
It's. I just saw pictures this morning, Scott, of all the barbed wire and the fences that have been erected. It just looks like a military zone. It looks like some other world. It looks like it's just horrific. And to see all these armed soldiers. Also, you probably heard this morning that 12 of those National Guardsmen have been expelled because they, what do they say? There isn't any deed. It's just that they had tweets that weren't appropriate and inappropriate remarks. That's the word that was used by the general. Inappropriate remarks. So they've been removed. It's shocking, really. It is. We are. And now it's funny because, not funny, but Capital Research Center has been covering the hard left for a long time. You guys have your influence watch. You go deep. You dig deep. And you've been my guest many times. And, of course, you're a friend. And we've talked about what the left is doing. But let's talk now. Joe Biden, of course, is a centrist, right, Scott? He's a moderate, right?
Well, clearly, yes. Clearly, very much so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
A very malleable centrist, because the left doesn't seem to have any trouble playing him like a violin. But
yeah, so let's just illustrate why we don't think that's true, because you guys have done a lot of research already and what's happening here. And first, as I understand it, you know, people don't really, well, I'll just say this quickly. Presidential transition team, a lot of our friends served on President Trump's presidential transition team, and they vetted people and they looked for people to, there's tons of places to staff when you come into a White House, into the executive branch. And so the transition teams are important because they make a lot of important choices about personnel. So you guys have looked into that team. And what have you found, Scott?
Lots of things to frighten you. The way to, I'm only going to hit the tiniest few highlights, but if you go to influencewatch.org and just type in Biden transition, it will take you to an entry that has hundreds of persons' names. So it's the names of all the people who are on the transition teams at all the departments, because each department and agency has its own transition team that, as you say, is doing the hiring of the new personnel. We also are tracking there the high-level nominees to cabinet and just below cabinet-level posts. And there's links and documentation for all of this. It's literally hundreds of names and thousands of their association. So, you know, one name and it may be all five, six places they've worked at in the past, with links to information on each of those different places. But it's really frightening. I'll give you, I picked just a few horror stories from a few departments that I know you and your listeners really care about. So, for instance, at education, you have heavy representation from both of the teachers' unions, the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association, which I'm sure your listeners are fighting every single day because, of course, they're far-left unions with staggering power in America. You have, for instance, the deputy director of the American Federation of Teachers, so very high up. These people, these unions, of course, put millions into Biden's campaign and provided thousands of foot soldiers to get them elected. The next place I would go to scare all of your listeners is the Justice Department transition team. My personal favorite for the biggest horror is Jose Morales, because he, at this minute, is on the payroll of Stacey Abrams' main group, Fair Fight Action. He's deputy director of voter protection at Fair Fight Action. So Stacey Abrams, of course, did as much as any single person in America, except for Mark and Priscilla Zuckerberg, in twisting this last election. And he is almost certainly hiring folks. It doesn't tell us what part of justice he's hiring for, but I bet you anything, it's the Civil Rights Division and other parts of justice that will be able to influence elections going forward. his patent. If you just want to know just how partisan he is, he also was on Pete Buttigieg's 2020 presidential campaign. He was on the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, which was desperately trying to win state legislative seats in order to redistrict everything and gerrymandered to the Democrats. Before that, it was the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which is the main fundraising group for House members and Pelosi. And then also he was on, how's this for the final coup de grace, he worked at the New Organizing Institute, which was the Democratic Party's, according to the Washington Post, not me, this was the Democratic Party's Hogwarts for digital wizardry. And it was other alumni from the New Organizing Institute of this highly democratic vote operation that started the Center for Tech and Civic Life, which got the $350 million from Zuckerberg in order to twist elections in the swing states. So how's that for a few, just a few? I have more.
I know you do. I know you do. One I heard about, and I can't think of the name, and Scott, I don't expect you to know. How could you possibly? There are hundreds here. There is one person's name that came to my attention who's been appointed at Justice who is coming from Google and will be in the department that will oversee the antitrust suit against Google at big tech. And so that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of nightmare we're talking about. They're going to undo and deconstruct, really, America as we know it, I think it's fair to say. You also looked into some entities that are involved. You did talk about the teachers union, and of course the let me just interject, Scott, because people don't always know what they never know all that you know, but it's the National Education Association has went off the rails 25 years ago at least, and I can vouch for that. They are the most radically left. They're the ones that are pushing transgender rights and hormone treatment blockers for children and horrible books in the classroom, and I could go on and on. So that's what that means. When they're appointed to these positions, that's who you're getting. You also talk about how the legal profession is very well represented in this, in higher education, that a lot of people from colleges and universities and positions like that, which, well, you could say a word about that and I'll be quiet. What does that mean to us?
Well, exactly. I mean, the greatest spewer of poison into American public life has almost certainly been higher education. First of all, they're the ones who now train teachers. That's ridiculous, because teachers shouldn't just be churned out by education schools in higher ed, but they typically are. And all of higher ed has become just the fire hose for identity politics and the most radical versions of Marxism imaginable. So you have higher ed heavily represented. Another part of America that's especially wicked and harmful is, of course, the foundation world. The left, despite supposedly hating big money, the left happily takes over multi-billion-dollar foundations and turns themselves into billionaires, effectively. And you have a shocking number of big foundation officers on the transition teams across government. Even in places where you might not at all expect it. So, for instance, one of the American Federation of Teachers persons hiring in education used to be at a senior program officer at the Rockefeller Foundation. By the way, Rockefeller was probably the top funder agitating for the Iran deal under Obama, just as one example of the bad things. Well, I'll give you somebody else, your readers. You may remember this name, and some of your listeners may too. Ty Feldblum, does that ring a bell?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, Scott, hold on just 1 second. You guys hold the break by 5 minutes, please, because Scott and I just need a few more minutes here. Yeah, Ty Feldblum, tell us about her, where she's going.
She's a nightmare. Once again, you know, justice is sacred, and especially when it's social justice. So she is currently hiring Justice Department personnel. By the way, of course, transition team members sometimes themselves get hired too, but she's hiring folks at the Department of Justice, and if your readers have forgotten her, they can just go to Family Research Council's website, because they've got quite a bit about her. She was the first open lesbian to serve on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which, of course, is the enforcer for all kinds of dubious equal rights claims. And she was way ahead of her time. She was for sexual orientation and gender identity at being used as hammers in the law and in hiring. She clerked for Justice Blackmun, who, of course, brought us Roe v. Wade. I believe she clerked after Roe v. Wade, but nonetheless, it was for the same justice. I can tell you that when she was just in, because she's been in private practice too, I can tell you that a good friend of mine who worked on a big employment lawsuit where she was on the other side, that they were stunned by her behavior, and my friend claims that she really should have been disbarred for her misbehavior in the suit. I can also tell you that back after Prop 8 passed in California, where the state of California rejected same-sex marriage, worth remembering how much of the country is actually on our side, but they rejected same-sex marriage, and there was a lot of ugliness. Remember, Mormons were being harassed at their places of worship.
Yep.
And a friend was working at a group that was trying to lower the temperature on both sides, try to find some common ground and calm things down. And they hoped that she would be helpful, but she would not. And I will give her credit for this. She has been for decades. She has been honest. Absolutely, there's going to be a conflict between religious liberty and the kind of homosexual special rights that I'm in favor of. And it's really sad because I was raised Jewish myself, but golly gee, religious liberty is going to have to give. So at least she's honest.
Just to give perspective, yes, well, yes, we'll give her that.
Or shameless.
Yeah, right. Well, that might be the better word. But Scott, kind of to put this in perspective, we both know that when Barack Obama was in 8 years, he spent a lot of that 8 years purging the Justice Department of any kind of, well, I don't know, maybe some hangers-on, but conservative voices. He filled it with radical leftists. He did that in pretty much all the departments, as far as I can tell. So now, and then when he left, he made them permanent employees and not political employees, so they're still there. So now add to that this layer now of political appointees by Joe Biden. It seems to me we have a nightmare ahead. Your thoughts about that?
Well, it's true. It's very scary. Part of the problem is that, the non-left side of us, we don't want to be career bureaucrats, right? That's not exactly a dream for us. And we don't want to actually take over people's lives in the way that these sorts of radicals do. But you may be sure that all kinds of political appointees under Obama did what's called burrowing in, where you're a political appointee at the department, and then as your administration's ending, you jump in and get hired as a civil servant who then can't be fired.
Yes, and we should say that when we experienced, which we certainly all did, the big resistance, capital R, in Washington, D.C., much of the power of that was in these various departments and agencies where President Trump would say, we're going to do this, but they wouldn't do it. They would undermine him in every way possible. And so that's kind of, now we don't have that. Now they don't have that. They don't have to be stealthy, Scott. They can just do what it is that they want to do. And I think we only have a couple of minutes left, and this is a hard question. But do you agree with many who are saying we are headed to total Marxism?
Well, I'd say that depends on you and me and your listeners and the rest of the folks who don't want that. T.S. Eliot was a serious Christian, and his view was, the war is God's job. My job, each of our jobs, is just to fight where we are, because as long as anyone is still fighting, a war is not lost.
Well, I love that. I love that. That's just such great perspective, Scott. And I think I have heard others say, and I think this is true, and I should repeat it. I've said it before, but in a different context, we need to get involved locally where we live. That's where there is still some hope. A lot of the legislatures are still conservative. A lot of the governors are still conservative. And so we need to get in there and support them, because the states are going to have some power, of course, to fight off the federal government's assaults. And that's where our activity, at least in the civic arena, can take place. Scott Walter of Capital Research Center. Again, it's influencewatch.org, Biden transition, if you want to know more, because we just barely touched, scratched the surface Biden's nominees, but you will want to know, I think. Scott, I always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
Okay. All right, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.